Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, tomorrow we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. We'd love for you to stop by, come hang out, and have your lunch with us. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Now it's time to have our conversation with our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Kyle, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Making our way through this season the only way we know how, you know, just smiling a little bit and trying to finish it out, because
make some people laugh every now and again.
Yes.
Try and keep it positive as much as you can. I feel you.
Yeah, 1% chance of getting in the playoffs doesn't leave a lot, you know, to of hope, but you know, there's still that little sliver, so we're hoping for that. Kyle, when it comes to this Cowboys team and this Carolina Panthers team, are they comparable roster-wise?
At this point in the season, yes. With the way that Dallas has just been decimated with injury and the kind of, I guess, the future outlook for the team and the way that they, it, like you said, the 1% chance is still there, but a lot of the thought around the final four games, maybe not within the locker room, but definitely outside of the locker room, is what does 2025 and 2026 have in store? And that's kind of the same thing for the 3-10 Carolina Panthers. You've got maybe a flip-flop of roles in terms of each unit. Carolina starting to build some confidence on offense, where the Cowboys are trying to build their confidence without DeMarvian Overshown on defense, where the Cowboys' offense has been pretty bad, just to keep it completely honest, been pretty bad throughout the 2024 season. The Carolina defense has been pretty bad throughout the 2024 season. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of comparables between the two. Now, going into the season and maybe for the future, probably not. But as we sit here in Week 15 and the two teams that are going to meet on Sunday, in terms of those rosters, they're pretty even across the board.
Which is more exciting, Bryce Young's improvement or Stephen Jones go ahead and coming on out and being like, hey, we don't have any money this next offseason?
Oh, man.
Which one's more exciting?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Bryce Young and his improvement, because, not a super positive outlook from Stephen today.
Nope.
I heard that one.
Are you surprised by that, though?
No, not really. And I think we had talked about it maybe even as early as training camp this past year. When I was joining you guys in the tent at Oxnard, I think we talked about how, there was a lack of spending in terms of free agency in 2024, but the cap situation doesn't get much better. Now,
you could argue it gets worse.
It would have. And I think signing Dak and signing CD helps you a little bit. But yeah, you could argue it's worse than it even was back in 2024. So yeah, not super surprising that that's the mentality and that's the conversation. But it's the reality that this salary cap has been for the Cowboys, and it's just unfortunate timing that it comes on the back half of 3 years where you had 12 wins, you had good playoff positioning, and you weren't able to take advantage of it the way you thought.
The running back for Carolina, Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
Why? How is he getting over 1,000 yards? Is it just, hey, somebody's got to run the ball, or what's he doing special?
He's been the one constant from their offense throughout the season, because you look at the quarterback position whether it was Bryce Young, then Andy Dalton, and then back to Bryce Young. You've had inconsistencies there. And now that Bryce Young's kind of finding his way and finding some stride, it just opens up things even more so for Hubbard, who was there through it all. Wide receivers, Xavier Leggett has been in his rookie season, done some good things, but had some ups and downs. Adam Thielen has been on IR for quite some time this year. He's had some ups and downs. Chuba Hubbard has been the consistent, reliable source of production for Carolina. So it kind of goes back to your first reading there. Is somebody's got to move the football. Somebody's got to carry it. And it has been Hubbard. And give credit to him, because I know Jonathan Brooks had a lot of exciting thought around what he could bring to the table. He was never really up to speed, and then he tore his ACL last week against Philadelphia, and just his rookie season hasn't come to fruition the way that people thought it possibly could have. And Hubbard's been that guy that can work into a consistent role. But this is a team that's really good at running the ball, despite what's happening at quarterback. But the real excitement around what Carolina's been doing offensively has been Bryce Young and the way he's starting to click in Dave Canales' system. Kind of got that West Coast feel, but it's like a modernized West Coast where it's get the ball out quick, have some layers for your playmakers to work into. It's really a fun system to dissect on film. And you're going to see a lot of that on Sunday.
I know they still have a great record, but have you seen, especially since Bryce has come back, the Panthers mm-hmm. have gone from the absolute worst team in the NFL to, hey, you've shown some progress. Do you think at this point Carolina has seen enough to be like, Bryce Young's our dude next year?
I think they're getting close. Next year, I think he's the dude, but they're really looking. He's a former top pick. Number one overall pick. So they're looking for franchise in the future. And I think they want more sample size, but they're getting closer with each and every week that he plays well. You're getting better as a football team, and you're getting more confidence, not only in Bryce Young, but I think in your coaching staff as well. And I give a lot of credit in their three losses. They're entering with a three-game losing streak, which for no one in the NFL, that's the goal. You're never going to try and lose three straight games. But they've done so by losing by a single possession against Kansas City, reigning Super Bowl champions in back-to-back years, losing by a field goal to Tampa Bay, at least a playoff-caliber team in the NFC, and then last week losing by a touchdown to Philadelphia. They've played well, and then the two games before that they won. So, yeah, when Bryce Young worked back into the fold, they were negative 147 in the point differential, which is worst in the NFL. Negative 147, outscored by that much. They're minus 8 in the last 5 games combined.
Wow.
So they're playing much better football, and the confidence is significant. So if they can continue building that for the final 4 games of the regular season, Carolina might be a team that says, hey, we've got a young head coach, a young quarterback who's looking like a star. Why don't you come play for us where we do have cap room, unlike the Cowboys do, and let's try and build something for the future.
Oh, man, that was impressive work there, Kyle.
We're never going to have cap room again.
when it comes to the play of Cooper Rush, it feels to me that he doesn't strike downfield much. Is there nothing to strike downfield on, or is he holding back on something?
No, it's I think a limitation in what he brings as a quarterback, if I'm being completely honest.
Yes.
He doesn't have the same skill set that Dak does when it comes to throwing downfield, or really a lot of these starters. And that's why he falls into that game manager category, which makes him a good backup quarterback.
Yes.
Is he a great quarterback for the NFL as a starter? Probably not, but if you need him to come in and right the ship and keep things steady, he's still your guy. I know they're trying to get the ball out of his hands quickly. They don't want him holding the ball in this pocket behind an offensive line that's had a revolving door. Despite some of the good play and the good things you've seen up front from guys like TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman, and even Chuma Adoga at times throughout the season, not perfect from his side of things. You have a revolving door on offensive line, and that creates uncertainty. So with a backup quarterback, you're trying to get the football out quick and get on with the play. I think he leads the league in terms of time between snap and release of the football. I think it's like 0.4 seconds. Like, he's really just trying to get the ball out. And if you're doing that, you've got 0.4 seconds to start running around. And you're not going to get very far down the field in that amount of time. So it really does not work out in favor of him trying it downfield. Plus, we've seen it a couple times to CD, a couple times last week. I remember one to Kevontae Turpin. Guys aren't getting open downfield, but they are getting open underneath. So you might as well utilize it the way you can.
All right, Kyle, it's Mike Bassick.
What's up, Mike?
You're a high school.
It's been like a year since you've asked a question in this segment.
It's not a cowboy question. You're a high school football fan.
Yeah, I am. Lots of good games this week.
Tell me about the national powerhouses of North Crowley versus Duncanville.
Ooh, man, I cannot wait for this game. I mean, these two met in the semifinals last year. And North Crowley had a shot going into that game, but they were young. They had a lot of juniors, a lot of class of 2025 guys last year, including their quarterback. Chris Jimerson committed to North Texas, Go Mean Green, committed to North Texas. He had 40 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the 2023 season. So he was fantastic. They get beat significantly by Duncanville because it's Duncanville, and they've got the bigger line of scrimmage. They've got the better athletes across the board. And what do? They come back and they reload. That class of 2025 talent is back for North Crowley. Chris Jimerson, back for North Crowley. What does he do after 40 touchdowns and 3 interceptions last year? He puts up 44 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in the regular season alone, Mike Bassick. He was fantastic this year. Then you've got on the other side for Duncanville, Keelan Russell, who just was handed the Gatorade National Player of the Year Award. Trayvon Diggs went down there, gave him the award. He's nice. A 5-star Alabama signee who's about as good of a quarterback. He's actually the 13th highest-rated player in the history of 24/7 sports recruiting. Like, he's up there with guys like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and some of these other high-caliber high school players that had the 5 stars and that are going on to the next level. He's incredible. So you've got a great quarterback matchup. Some of the best athletes in speed on the outside, and then the line of scrimmages between these two is littered with Division I talent. I think if I checked earlier in the year, so it's probably more so now, if these two would have met in like October, I think it would have been like 41 or 42 combined Division I offered players.
Holy crap.
At one time. It's something like that. It's an unbelievable. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just going off the top. But if we're talking about talented high school football teams, in my opinion, these are the best two in the country, and it's going to be an unbelievable game.
And this game,
it's probably the most anticipated game I've ever had to cover.
And this game is in Allen, correct?
Yep.
Yes, and if it's not sold out, I don't know what's wrong with Dallas.
Is it Friday night or Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday afternoon, and then
should be good weather, should be solid all the way through. It's going to be crazy.
Everyone will be at Martin House for our event, but you know, I get it.
I have another question.
You just move it to Allen.
Ooh.
Denton Ryan versus Highland Park. I know South Oak Cliff is playing. Like, there's a lot here, but I know you're a high school football guy. I was thinking about going to this game just because I have a friend's son who is on the Highland Park team. Where is that game at? Because when I click on UIL, it doesn't tell me where that game is at. And is Denton Ryan versus Highland Park, is that going to be a very tough game to pick?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's about as coin toss as you can get. From Highland Park's got a young quarterback that I really like a lot. I think he's got a chance to go D1, kind of follow in the footsteps of some of those other great quarterbacks like a Chandler Morris and a John Stephen Jones that's had some success there. Denton Ryan may not have the high-end talent that they've had in the past, but they're still really well coached. Dave Hennigan, one of the best coaches in the North Texas area, has that defense playing at a high level, despite maybe missing some of those great linebackers like an Anthony Hill. They had a guy a couple years ago, Jatavion Sanders, who the Cowboys will play this week. He's with the Carolina Panthers now. So they've got a ton of talent. That game's at the Star in Frisco, Mike.
Okay.
So it's here. Yeah.
Friday night.
Friday night, Star in Frisco. At least that's what
I sold out. Am I too late?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you could probably find your way into that game. I'll double check that for you. Again, that was the conversation I had earlier in the week. I'll double check it, and then once I do, I'll text you.
Give me some sideline passes.
Okay, Mike.
Wow.
He works there.
I'll see what I can do.
I can be there with the 160 kids suiting out for Highland Park.
I'll see what I can do. I would love to hook you up if I can.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. Yep. Thank you very much, Kyle.
How about me?
I didn't realize we were going to have all these high school conversations. That's fantastic. I would have studied up a little bit more.
State semifinals, Paradise playing Malakoff tonight. Get in on the action.
Busy weekend, man. Nice. Busy weekend.
No doubt. Southlake's playing this week too, right? Longview? Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Southlake and Longview. But South Oak Cliff's in a big game too, I think, too.
I believe that is correct.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for your time. We look forward to talking with you next week, man.
Yep, absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com, a man of many talents.
Indeed.
Oh, dang it. I didn't ask if he's going to be. You know what? We got weeks. We have the First Responders Bowl for UNT, and I feel like he's going to be involved with that somewhere.
Oh, all right. Coming up next, I do still need to hear that teleportation update. But also, which Panthers players scare you, and where do the Cowboys hold an edge? Next on The Fan.
Right back to Hubbard, and this time he'll walk in for the touchdown, and the Panthers, they take the lead, and Hubbard over 1,000 yards on the season for the first time in his NFL career.
Go ahead, Kevin.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about what Panthers players scare you and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage. Don't forget G-Bag Nation at Hurtado in Arlington today.
Chris, where's G-Bag Nation today?
Arlington?
Yeah, keep going.
Hurtado? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, once it happened, everybody felt like they could talk over Kevin. Now, once Chris establishes dominance on this show, then now everybody's just like, hey, Kevin. Hey,
we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Which Buffalo Wild Wings?
Bedford.
Bedford. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I'll go. I'll be at a B. Like, I was about to say Burleson, but I was Bedford. It's Bedford, nice. You guys. That's in the HEB area.
Heck yeah, that is
HEB. I mean, they have to have an HEB there, right?
That would make sense.
I mean, I might shop at HEB while I'm in Bedford. Bedford, let me know. Was Bedford kind enough to put a HEB there? Because they are great stores. I'd just like to let you know. I think HEB is awesome. I just don't think it's awesome that they won't go, you know, just south of the Trinity River. But Chris, tomorrow, can you do all the updates and like everything?
Yes, I'll do every single read.
Every read.
Actually, I'm going to do the whole minute reads before the breaks.
Is there any way, I shouldn't be saying this on the air, but can you do, when we do Gridiron Gravy, it's sponsored by Rhino Shield, can you just, coming out of the break, just do the whole Rhino Shield spot?
I'm on it.
I like it.
You think that's a good idea?
Can you just send us the run sheet for tomorrow?
Yeah, no, I won't give you any run sheets.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, I just got a text from Kyle Yeomans, who was just on with us, and he said Highland Park and, is it Denton Ryan, are here. So that game is going to be here. I'm sorry, when he says here, I think he means the Star.
Okay, I was like, wow, great.
Yes,
the Star. I'll see you down in the parking lot. We'll just catch
the 7-Eleven McDonald's?
It's Chevron,
whatever,
Mike.
It is.
And then this line is weird to me, from Ian Rappaport. Former Browns coach Freddie Kitchens, who's already on staff at UNC, will be Bill Belichick's first hire, he announced.
What?
If you're already on staff, how can you be a first hire? You're already there. You're already hired.
That is confusing.
I guess he's hiring him as offensive coordinator, but that's a promotion, not a hiring.
Yeah, you already work there.
So there you go. I just wanted to throw that. It's weird to me.
We're sure it's
that.
Not a different Freddie Kitchens that also worked at North Carolina.
I don't. You know what? Kevin, this is one of those conundrums that I usually put you in. Mm-hmm. Proud of you for this one, brother.
By the way, the Cowboys have signed Braden Daniels to the practice squad to add to their offensive line.
I always
wanted
Braden Daniels.
What position does he play?
Offensive
line. Okay, I was just making sure you were just listening when I said that. So,
who was he drafted by?
Heck yeah, he was drafted.
Yeah, he was.
Braden Daniels?
He was fourth round draft pick by the Commanders.
Heck yeah, I was going to say the Commanders.
Ago, where is he from?
United States of America.
Hebron.
That's true.
Heck yeah! Even better! We got a Hebron guy on our practice squad?
We did.
He might be on eventually making his way onto the roster.
Hold on. What's his name?
Jaden Daniels.
Nope. It's Braden Daniels.
He was like, it was a Commander, so it made sense.
Heck yeah, man. Old Braden.
That enthusiasm is absurd. I love it. All right.
Braden Daniels. We got him.
Cowboys.
The AO guy. We don't want him. He didn't even know he made a mistake on special teams.
Awarie. He said, I'm going to stick with that. Yeah. Or I'm going to stand by that. So the Panthers, as Kyle pointed out, they have played significantly better. They started the season 1-7, and they're 2-3 in their last five games. So they are getting better. Do you see that? Like, I know they're 3-10 still, so you're like, yeah, this team's not very good. But they're favored for the first time in 2 years. Do you see this as a team that is getting better?
Absolutely, I do see them as a team.
Does it start with a quarterback then?
For sure. And, I mean, coaching has a lot to do with it too.
Sure.
But yeah, the being a good quarterback, especially when you have a guy that can be a good receiver out there, it exists, and you're like, just please, somebody, getting a good quarterback changes everything.
Now, did you have any idea that former Cowboys safety Xavier Woods is not only on the Panthers, he is thriving. This season, he has 89 tackles and 3 interceptions. Now, it is true.
Somebody's got to make the plays.
I mean, look, it kind of feels like the receiver position, right? Like, Xavier Leggett, he's their leading wide receiver, I guess. But he's had a whole lot of his own issues. I know people have caught the fever with him because he ate raccoon for Thanksgiving. But he also dropped the pass that would have given them the lead and probable win back against Philadelphia. It's just like on defense. They don't get a whole bunch of pressure for the season on the quarterback.
This is a tie for the most interceptions he's had in his career.
Is that right?
Yeah, Minnesota 2021, he also had 3. So the first 3 years of his career with the Cowboys, he had 5 total in 3 years. 1-2-2, then 0-3-0-2-3. So this is, he's having a good year this year.
Now, what do you think about the prospect of taking the over in this game? Because the over-under is only set at 43.5. And I understand that you don't necessarily look at either one of these offenses as juggernauts. But consider this. The Panthers are last in the NFL, giving up 29.8 points per game.
Okay.
Cowboys are next to last in the NFL, giving 28.2 points per game. So do you think the overall struggles of the defense could push you to the over, seeing as how the over is only 43.5, or the over-under is 43.5?
Man, I just want to take unders whenever the Cowboys are playing.
I gotcha.
But I also am like, but I want to take the over for whatever opponent it is. But then the team that's going to score the most points against them scores 27, and I expected 35, and that's the Bengals last week. I expected that. So this defense has changed a little bit.
Question. How much will Overshown being out hurt the defense?
Yeah, you know, I guess that kind of depends on what you think about Leafau. But even if you have really high hopes for Leafau both this week and going forward, Overshown was becoming a force. Now, does that sometimes get used against him when a couple of times he over-pursued on a tackle, whether it's against a quarterback or whatever? Yes, that is fair. But Overshown felt like he was becoming a real force, especially since Micah came back. So I do think that hurts.
He was starting to really find his place. And that ability to pursue, he was less over-pursuing now.
Like,
because he knew he was hit this. What's wild is the speed of the game slowed down for him, and it seemed like he sped up physically. That was wild.
Now, Corey, what do you think about this from the 806? Big news. I have changed my entire work route tomorrow to join y'all in Bedford and meet you guys at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
I love it. I think this is amazing.
That is a great idea.
You know, there are some people that do this frequently.
Yes.
There was a guy who brought us some coffee. I am currently out of coffee. I'm just putting it out there.
The guy who drove the mail truck who ran over the sign. But then it was on the spring and it just popped right up.
So yeah, right, if you're gonna change your whole route up so that you can make sure to swing by us, I'm all about it.
If you're gonna take out a pole, make sure it has a spring on it.
That's true.
Otherwise it'll take your truck out.
I think it was Ruben was sitting right next to me at the at Palmer's, and he goes, "Oh crap." And I looked over and saw that the mail truck had knocked the pole over. But then you guys were like, no, I think it just springs right back up. But
yeah,
he didn't even realize he had hit the pole.
No, he didn't. I actually, last night I hit something.
What?
Yeah.
Was it alive? Dinner.
They had one of these like a planter box in front of the restaurant. And I pulled forward and just nudged it forward about 2 inches. So, and then I got out and I was like, I don't know. I put it in reverse, backed up a little bit.
By the way,
they didn't notice. So,
okay. I guess that's good then. By the way, a whole lot of people saying there's not an actual HEB in HEB.
Hearst Euless Bedford doesn't have an HEB.
Yes.
That is a major mistake, HEB.
From the 817, hate to disappoint, Mike, no HEB in the HEB. From another 817, no HEB there. From the 682, Burleson has an HEB. So they're even trying to help out, and there's one being built in Forney, but no HEB in HEB. In the HEB, I'm very sorry to tell you.
Who do we talk to about this?
I don't know.
Is there a head of a CEO we can get on the phone and say, hey, what's going on here?
I think the guy's last name is Butts. HEB is his initials. Look it up. I think so.
You could see why I would be skeptical, though, that the guy whose initials are HEB, you're like, I'm pretty sure it's Mr. Butts.
Or Butts?
It is Howard Edward Butt St. Jr. I'm sorry. Howard Edward Butt the Third is the CEO of HEB.
Let me see your computer.
Clavin with these things.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I knew it was Mr. Butt. I think he's dead.
No, well, I mean, look, it says that he's currently the guy. 2.6 billion USD. Howard Butt the Third, yeah. And so Howard Butt Senior, obviously.
Get on Howard Butt the Third.
And there was Charles Butt.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, they're all Butts.
Yeah, they're a whole family of Butts.
Hey, so I was going to tell you about a couple linebackers for the Panthers.
Okay.
DJ Wonnum and Josie Jewell. I know we've already talked some about Josie Jewell. 7 straight games with at least 6 tackles and 12 straight with at least 5 tackles dating back to last season. And for DJ Wonnum, has been out and has only played in 4 games this season. All right. In those 4 games, 19 tackles, 3 sacks, 17 pressures, 5 quarterback hits, 3 tackles for loss, and a forced fumble. Mm. So obviously disappointing from the standpoint of availability, but
is that why they felt like they could move on from Burns? Because they were feeling like they were going to get some extra work out of him?
Could be, or they could be a poor decision-making franchise. I will leave that to you.
He's no longer with them.
Yeah.
I believe he's no longer with us.
Sorry to tell you that. And then you...
Kevin Green?
No, I don't think Kevin Green's there anymore. Did you know that he wrestled?
No.
Yeah. He had a couple of pay-per-view matches. Go check it out.
I just know that in 1996, Sam Mills and Kevin Green made the Cowboys lose.
Did you know that Reggie White wrestled in a match once, too?
I don't. I don't know why
you've been interested in old wrestling. I was just letting you know.
I haven't seen the celebrity wrestling thing, but like...
No, I was in real, like, WCW.
Well, I know, but WCW, didn't they have, like, Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone
in a match?
That is
true. And Jay Leno.
Jay Leno versus who? Johnny Carson?
It was Jay Leno and Diamond Dallas Page against Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff. That guy needs to lay off a WCW. You know what I'm saying?
AEW.
AEW.
And by the way, you talked about Hubbard surpassing 1,000 yards. He's also forced 48 missed tackles this year. And if you just look back at the last game against the Eagles, he had a career-high 10 missed tackles in that game. So if you're looking for how effective are the Cowboys going to be at stopping the run, Hubbard has been significant, very effective at breaking tackles. So that will be something to keep an eye out on in this game.
Cowboys are going to have to continue to do what they've been doing the last few weeks to keep themselves in this game, not giving up early run game. They're going to try and go to Hubbard as much as they can, but the Cowboys got to stop them.
From the 469, why does Kevin get frustrated? He read the fan text that got Mike to spiral into a tangent.
That's valid. That's on you, Kevin. How often do you go, I only have myself to blame?
It's true, although I will say there's sometimes when I'm like, there's no way I could have predicted that's the direction that was going to go. But there are other times I reflect and I'm like, well, that was clearly a mistake.
Yeah,
you asked the follow-up question.
Yeah.
That was a poor decision by you.
I'm happy when you don't know what I'm going to do next. So when I do it, you didn't know it.
Like when we talked about the Simpsonized and you go, oh yeah, they already did that. Jessica Simpson, Romo, didn't turn out well.
Another one.
And then And then you threw me for the loop when you go, you know, who probably won't be there. I had no idea what you were going to say. And your answer was?
What was it? I forget.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson wasn't at the Cowboy game.
That is...
because he's dead.
True.
True. There was nobody dead at the game Sunday. Monday. Ooh,
unless their spirits made it to the game. But we couldn't confirm that.
You don't know that.
What?
There's no way to confirm a spirit.
Oh, you think Tom Landry watches the football games?
I don't...
why the holes in the roof
a little bit
like once God. Every 3 years
I kind of do, but you've disputed that before. I've said I like the grandparents think, like watch their kids play soccer and you're like you're in heaven.
It's only a question. I don't know the answer.
Sure. There's so much stuff to do in heaven.
I really wish this was all an off-air conversation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. They're live at Hurtado in Arlington. Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
All right.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Quick note for you, Travis Hunter, the two-way superstar, has been named AP's College Football Player of the Year.
Let's go!
And tomorrow...
hey, well, it's awesome to see you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We're having a conversation here.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Can you clue us in?
Right now... courtesy of D&M Leasing. You guys are already up. It's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how are you? And what was Woolchuck so excited about?
Oh, he's just excited to see a Tolo friend of his. We're here at Haters Bar and Grill, which is right next door to Hurtado, the best barbecue in the world. Let's come get some. It's just crazy. Had an amazing taco.
Everyone just wants to come over and say happy birthday to Brian today. I mean, this is going to be overflowing with just fireball shots and God knows what. It's going to be mayhem. We're going to get Mardi Gras Brian, I think, today.
Okay.
Oh.
He gave me the side eye.
What's Brian's favorite
drink? I was like, disappointed drink. Dad look.
What's Brian's favorite drink?
It depends on what time of the year it is.
Okay.
Because if I'm on a fishing boat, give me any Mexican beer, any like... Tecate, Dos Equis, Corona.
Sol.
Do you need a lime in it?
No. Okay. I really don't. But and then in the wintertime, I will drink Johnny Walker Scotch.
There you go.
My favorites.
Do you like ranch waters?
I never really have taken a liking to those, Mike. Okay. But I'll tell you what, the parade, it was the first time I drank 27 Budweisers since I was like 23 years old. I forgot how good a Budweiser used to taste, and like the Artolo brothers and sisters just kept handing them to me, and I felt like I felt obligated to make sure that they received my love for them. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that because the people at the parade were so attentive to us.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
I just asked. If anybody had a water, and you would have thought I was on fire because the crowd was like, hey, shut up. Does anybody have any water? And I was like, I mean, it's not an emergency. I'm just saying, if you had a water, I would appreciate it. But
there was a guy there that I kept going by and he kept handing me a Budweiser every time I walked by. And it got to the point where he ran out of Budweisers at the end.
Because you were walking by him every 30
seconds. Well, I looked at him. He looked at me and goes, Broadus. We're out of beer. And this is like 5 in the afternoon. And I looked at him, and I go, come here. I just opened my arms, like, give me a hug.
Give me a hug.
I mean, I'm like, that guy, I swear, every time I walked by, he handed me a beer.
And then you put out the bad signal for more beer.
Yeah, and that worked out good, too.
Dude, one thing I can guarantee is Saturday, we will not run out of beer at Martin House Brewing at all.
Martin House. Nope, not at all.
I cannot wait, dude. Saturday's going to be fantastic.
Put the bat signal.
I can't wait for the fellas to see the view, dude, right there on the Trinity River with the downtown.
There's a stage up there and everything.
Yeah, they have it built perfectly for, like, when we do roundtables.
Oh, wow.
We'll be up on a little bit of a perch there.
Yeah.
Just hammered.
Yeah.
Tonight's Rams 49ers game, Mike has said this. Do you view this as essentially an NFC elimination game?
I heard Mike say that a couple of days ago, and I like what he was saying.
Yeah, if the 49ers lose, they're done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Rams got the best of them earlier this season. Isaac Garendo will be kind of a game time decision. They just signed Israel Abanacanda. I mean, it basically seems like you got the Mike Shanahan away. You can insert any running back, and they're going to be successful in that system. So I still think they'll be able to run the football. But yeah, I think it probably is an elimination game. I mean, the Rams would be both of them would be 7-7. So I think it's more important for the Niners than it is for the Rams. It's a must win for the Niners.
Agreed.
By the way, Schefter is saying Guerrero is going to play
good
in that game.
But don't you feel like if the Rams lose, then Seattle's going to win that division?
I kind of felt like Seattle was going to win it anyway, but after the way that Rams played against, the Rams will rise up and play great against teams you don't think they'll beat. And then the next week they'll look like something else. But I'll tell you what, that West is crazy anyway. But I kind of feels like Seattle's the best team out there.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely been on a nice little run here. They're leading the division, but it's still pretty neck and neck. I wonder what the Seahawks schedule looks like.
Packers, here. Vikings, Rams.
See, that's
that looks like we're not going to win the division.
That's a gauntlet. I mean, that
so
makes
the tune Rams, in for 5 hours of me not saying anything today.
Rams useful. Should be feeling good, man, if they can get this victory right here. Boy, which is just crazy with how banged up they've been throughout the season.
How much did that Buffalo game take out of them though last week? You got to worry about that.
It taken a lot. It could have.
I know a lot of it will depend on the situation, but we had a conversation where I had lost a Duke basketball hat that I really liked back in the day, and Mike Bassick found it on eBay for $80, and he said, "I love you, brother, but not $80 worth."
Wait a minute. Mike was going to give. Mike gave $100. So Alec would jump in the fountain?
300.
He didn't do it.
300.
He's just pulling.
What's Mike doing here?
$100 out of his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't. Heggie, he doesn't care enough. He's like willing to just give $100 for something crazy instead of get you a hat that you really like.
Could you imagine though? Yesterday, if Alec would have been on MLB Network, they would have randomly just had the cameras that they have, kind of security cameras, and he just falls into that pond the way that guy did. Or what if he would have just walked through the pond? The other thing too is to just walk into it and just keep walking across it like it's part of the walkway.
Yeah. Stop and look around every once in a while.
Like he would have been a legend.
Take a phone
and
call.
Got $300.
Yeah, I think he did it. I think if you guys would have gone to 600, he might have done it. I think he sounded like initially he was in, but then it was like, well, listen, you hold the money until I fit, think about doing this. But
he got nervous.
I think he got nervous. Yeah,
I could see that. Is there do you guys have like a set limit for friend gifting? Have you ever been on the wrong end of that where you've gotten like, hey, I got you like a $30 gift, and then somebody bought you a $100 gift and you're like, oh crap.
My sister-in-law gets me pretty good. She is super attentive to that kind of stuff. She got a Christmas card out. She got all the kids' birthday cards. So I'm playing catch-up this Christmas trying to get her kids' stuff,
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. These aunts are down to pull out all the stops for the kids.
They're dialed.
And then now
they got a lot
like,
of time on
it.
Their hands, too, I think,
My wife has a lot of strengths, but keeping track of that kind of stuff isn't one of them.
Why do the ants have a lot of time on their hands, Rod?
Yeah. They just do.
Just the ants.
Check out OnlyFans. I'll let you know. Oh, my God. A lot of time on their hands.
You got an aunt. She's on OnlyFans.
She's probably making money. That's why Dawson's getting good gifts.
Making that cash.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today, and where can everybody find you?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks for asking. This is a golden barbecue opportunity. We'd love to have you come by. We're at Haters, which is right next door. There's that little picnic table type area there in the middle. So if you want to eat outside, you can do that. Come over here, maybe, get something cold and delicious to drink as well. But we have Eric Kendricks coming up at 4:30, a little bit early today. Mike's on his winter schedule now where he gets the guys off a little bit early. So he'll be joining us at 4:30.
All right. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them in Arlington. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. You can check us out. Tomorrow we'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Corey?
Bedford,
if you want to come and see us, or you can at least tune in 10 to 2 right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I think Broadus is already on one, Kevin.
Man, he might be. I like it.